bear witness of what God is trying to say through us to the church. And I think it's a beautiful thing just to know that His glory is there and being revealed to us each and every day. With that being said, I want to welcome those that are here today. I want to welcome those that are on the website listening and those that are going to be hearing the message, whether it's recorded or if they're hearing it live. But if you're here, it's a special time. It's a special place. There's a presence and an atmosphere that is falling, and God truly wants to speak through us and speak to us. We've been speaking a message about the anointing and about understanding how to come into a place of what it is really to be a Christian, what it is and what it's to be like as a Christian. It is no longer I that lives, but He that lives within me. And you say, what does this all mean? What does it all mean? And we share two lives. We don't understand this because it's a mystery. But we have two lives that we share. Within ourselves, there are two lives. One that is in the will of God. The other one is in the will of man. One is controlled by conscience. One is controlled by subconscious. Subconscious is always groaning, always in pain, always longing to know. Subconscious creates hopes. Subconscious is always talking to us. Here we call our subconscious Christ. We call it the divine nature. We call it the will of God. We call it the Word of God. But it's living inside of us, and it's a person, it's a part of us. But there's a problem. The subconscious can't live. It's groaning, it's suffering, it's in pain, but it can't live. And the reason why it can't live is because there's a mind, a conscience awareness that we are so equipped with, we're so familiar with. It's our reasons, it's our thoughts, it's our traditions, it's our patterns, it's the way we were brought up. Wednesday, we had a Wednesday service, and you can go back onto our archives and find that service, but I spoke about a bubble, and we all live within our bubble. However, you were brought up by family, any authority that was over your life, how you received or obtained your knowledge, or how you received your instruction in life. We all have a bubble. And some of our bubbles only consist of 20 people, 30 people, maybe more, maybe less. Or maybe it just consists of a few. Maybe it just consists of you. And maybe you just put yourself in such a bubble that you're not able to have a voice of reason. And there's a part of us that's inside that is groaning, and we're all in pain. We don't realize it. A lot of us were able to subdue the pain. A lot of us were able to come to a point of, I call it pain tolerance. Has anyone ever experienced pain tolerance? It's where you come to a point of discouragement or unhappiness, and you just learn to deal with it. You tend to not want to see it. You tend to not want to address it. You tend to just not look at it. Has anyone ever come across that in their lives? It's very important to understand this awareness. Because when we begin to understand this awareness, maybe we stop overlooking it. Maybe we start facing it and addressing it. You know, there's been teachings a long time ago. It's about facing our giants. Has anyone ever heard those messages before where we have to face our giants? You know, it's those things that we don't want to address. We don't want to see. But God is already created us a life, and that life is buried deep down inside of us. And if I would say that the whole world is groaning in pains, the whole world is groaning in suffering, but we don't know why. Because the mind is trying to tell us it's this or that. Because the mind is influenced by a dark realm, or I want to call it the world of sin. The mind is controlled by the world of sin. And the mind is the enmity against God. How many people have read that scripture? The mind is the enmity against God. Okay? And that is why I'm saying the mind in itself is what we live. We live the mind. We have to separate our mind, and this is why the Bible says we need to get the mind of Christ. We got to renew our mind. We have to come to a place of repentance. We need to change the way we're thinking. All these things indicate that the mind is not good. And the mind is built with reasons, imaginations. And the mind wants to rob you from the life that's inside of you. And that life inside of you is that deep conscious awareness that is groaning and suffering with pain. And if we don't address that pain, if we don't come to the truth of honesty of how we're feeling, we're never going to be saved. We are never going to come to a place of salvation. That pain in itself is going to live for eternity. It's going to take you to your next place. And one of the things that really bother me and I'm concerned is the condition of the church, the condition of religion, because no one is touching the subconscious pain that is in the individual, which is the spiritual condition of who you are, the place you're living. It's the place you're living. That's your life. That's the place that you established. And that life goes on to eternity. How many people are beginning to understand this? And so the Christian world or religion is supposed to get you to identify the pain so that you can come into salvation. Most of us think that if we die, all our pain and suffering just goes away, and then we end up living a different blissful life. As long as we confess this gospel that this individual has died for me and saved me. But that's not true. We are responsible for our lives, and we have to come to a point of being honest and true with our inner self. And if we're not honest and true with our inner self, and we're affected by the outside world or our bubble, we're only hurting ourselves. This gospel message that we bring here at GTTN in the Glory Barn, this message, I'll tell you what, I can understand why people don't want to hear it, because it chops you up. It chops you up. It doesn't pet you. It doesn't feed your thoughts. It doesn't, you know, grope you and cuddle you. It causes you to repent. It causes you to look deep inside and be aware of what it is. And the problem is we have develop through struggling. Listen, we've all struggled and we fought and we've come to a place of contentment. And because now all of a sudden we established our place of life, the gospel is saying, now destroy it. Destroy that life that you're so complacent with, that you have established your peace. And so you continue to lie. And then not only do you continue to lie, you come against the message. You come against it because they say, I don't want change. I don't want to change. I'm uncomfortable with change. I have my little yacht that I created. I'm floating on my ocean. Don't create a wave. I'm out of here. I'm going to tell you right now, you better rock your boat. You better rock that boat to the point where you can endure all the storms and everything else that is about to take place, because you're going to have storms. You're going to have problems, you're going to have troubles, and you're going to have tribulations. But you got to find a life. Because when you find a life, not only do you find that life, but you find an eternal life. I look at my own life and I say to myself, what do I got? 20, 30 more years? What do I got to lose? I want to apply the gospel message to the fullest, so that I know that I have an eternal life, that I can go to God when I stand before Him and say, listen, I took that gospel message you've given me and I applied it 100%. What am I supposed to do? I did the best I could. And He'll say, well done. You got out of the bubble. You didn't let the influences of the world to affect you. You look deep down inside of your honest conscience and you obeyed that conscience. Look, we need to begin to start looking at ourselves in a very unique way. We need to begin to start being honest with ourselves. What is making you sick? Why don't you have joy? Why are you chronically looking at yourself in the sense of woe is me? Why do you have frown on your face? Why is it that you're not happy? You know what hurts me? When I see people in a repetitive state of life and they're doing the same thing over and over and over again and they're expecting to be happy. They're expecting to be happy. They're not working out areas of their life to try to make a change. And then they come against you when change is facing them, because don't rock the boat. I fought really hard to get to this place, and my ocean is calm right now. Don't rock the boat. The gospel is to rock your boat. The gospel is there to rock your boat and to get you to a place where you come into a new boat, a new ocean, and be able to be actually blown by the wind. And wherever that wind takes you, you need to be able to yield to that. There are going to be people that are going to come and go in your life. There are going to be decisions that you're going to make, and you have to be willing to make changes in your life. The decisions that we made 10 years ago, are they right? Are they wrong? Are they good? Are they bad? They could have been good for at that moment in time. But tomorrow, when you wake up, it's a new day. It's a new day. And we have to be aware of the new day. We have to say, yesterday I did this. You know what? Tomorrow is a new day. I don't know what tomorrow is going to bring me, but I'm going to have to accept what tomorrow brings me, and I have to live in tomorrow. You can't judge anyone. You can't judge yourself. We said that earlier. We need to just accept the way life is. Surrender to it. And then when there's issues and problems in our lives, we need to address them. We can't sit there and complain about them. A chronic complainer is not going to bring you into life. A chronic person who is disappointed and upset with everything, I'm going to tell you right now, they don't have eternal life. The joy of the Lord is our strength. The joy of the Lord is our salvation. How many of us tend to find ourselves complaining? Let's be honest. Let's be honest with ourselves. Okay? And I'm going to tell you right now, it's okay to have a discouraged heart. Please, don't get me wrong with this, okay? But how long do you let your discouraged heart go on? That's the problem. If you complain or you're discouraged with your situation for a day, I'm going to say that's okay. But are you thinking about how to getting out of it? Are you thinking about how to change that situation? Are you looking at trying to make things better? Or are you just going to let that day go by and then complain about it again? You're never going to get to the subconscious life that I'm talking about, because our subconscious life is groaning in pain. And you have to listen to your complaining. You have to listen to it and address it, because it's like vomit coming up. And if you don't look at what you just puked up, you're just eating it over again. And you're just eating it and puking it up and eating it, puking it up, eating it, puking it up, eating it. That's why the Bible says the dog returns to its own vomit. A dog returns to its own vomit and eats it. Is that us? Is that us? I don't know about you, but I don't want to keep repeating over and over and over what I'm complaining about. My subconscious is groaning. I got to get a hold of it and listen to it. And then change the way I'm thinking. My mind is telling me I can't do anything about it. I'm going to tell you right now. Or I can't do it because what other people are going to think. Or if I do that, my financial situation is going to be bad. And, you got excuses upon excuses upon excuses upon excuses upon excuses. Because the mind is the world of sin. And it doesn't want to resurrect your subconscious Christ. It doesn't want to resurrect that Christ inside of you. It wants to steal your life. This gospel message wants you to be aware of what is going on so that you can grab hold of what is groaning inside of you, hear it, and begin to do something about it. If we don't do anything about it, what happens is we begin to point fingers at everybody. We begin to blame everything. We never look at ourselves. Never. And that's what the mind does. The mind constantly wants to rob, steal, kill, and destroy you. But we need to grab hold of the mind. That's why the Bible says, cast down all your imaginations that exalt itself over the knowledge of God. You got a spirit inside of you that is speaking. It's speaking. And most of the time, what it's saying is, help, 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 help me, help, help me. Please help me. Please. And then this is your mind. You can't do anything about it. Why? Don't listen to them. Don't listen to that. Help. Help. Help me. Help. It's not the time. You can't do that. Your finances can't do this. You can't do that. There's 1,001 reasons to shut the groaning up. How many have been there before? How many of us are still groaning and complaining about things a month ago? How about 6 months ago? How about a year? How about 5 years? How about 10 years? How about 20 years? Do you know, I bet there's some groaning inside of us that's been going on for almost 20-something years. We could be pointing fingers at everybody else, blaming every situation that we possibly can blame. It's not salvation, I'm going to tell you right now. It's not salvation. You are putting yourself in what they call purgatory. Has anyone ever heard of purgatory? Isn't that a place of hell before hell? How many people have heard of purgatory? Help me out here. Isn't that supposed to be like the hell before hell kind of thing? Isn't it a waiting place? It's in between. Because there is a place that you can get out. You don't want to go. You're kind of stuck there. I look at purgatory as that groaning that you ignore. That's what I call purgatory. That place of groaning that you either got to stop groaning and rejoice. If you can't do anything about it, you got to stop groaning. You got to watch the words that come out of your mouth and you got to stop them. And then you got to go even further and then you got to stop what your heart is saying too. Do you know there are some good groaners out there, some good miserable complainers out there that won't even speak a word, but yet they'll go around going, "What's wrong with you?" "Nothing." "What's up with you?" "Ah, nothing. Don't worry about it. I'll be all right." Their heart's groaning. That's not saving you either. We need to have joy. Overflowing joy. And I know sometimes overflowing joy could be hard in the beginning. But if you work out your salvation, start chipping at these things in your life that are groaning and complaining. I know in my own life, I've already made a determination to start working out my salvation. It would be really bad to be able to have this gospel message and don't apply it to your own life. That's right. Brick upon brick. Precept upon precept. Glory to glory to glory. We need to do it. Yeah, there's no choice. There's no choice in your life. You need to do it. No one's going to save you but yourself. And you better start doing it for your own salvation. If you're going to worry about what this person's going to say, or this person leaving your life, or this person doing that, or this person doing this, or this is financially you can't do that, or financially you can't do this. If you're going to worry about all these things, then you're not trusting God. You're not putting your faith in Him, because you know what? He makes a way where there is no way. If He removes people out of your life, He promises us to bring 100-fold back in. I don't understand why and what is hindering us from salvation. We need to begin to understand what salvation is. There is something inside of us that needs to live. How many people are grabbing that part? And if you're not living, what are you doing? You're complacent. You're complacent. We should strive every day to live. Now, don't get me wrong. I like those complacent moments. I don't feel like dealing right now. I'm cool. You know, I'm content. But when the weight gets heavy, when things start getting a little heavy, you have to reevaluate yourself. You have to start saying to yourself, all right, it's time for change. It's time for change. How many people are grabbing hold of what I'm saying? It's very important, because we can get to that place where we create our own boat and we got the water and we got everything going the way we want it to. We got everything the way we want it. Don't rock the boat. But all of a sudden you're getting rotten inside. Getting miserable. You're not happy. Something's feeling ugh. You're empty inside. There's a groaning again. There's a groaning. You know why your boat was calm? Because God says He'll never give you more than you can handle. So there's a point where God says, I see how you labored, and I see now I'm going to give you a little rest. And now He says, okay, the resting time is up. That groan begins to take over again. There's a groan. That groan isn't going to stop. From glory to glory to glory to glory to glory to glory. I'm seeing some people in my life that I'm watching, And I want to say it's called backsliding. Can't do anything about it. They don't want to rock the boat. They don't want to get complacent. They don't want to look at their own life. They're scared. They're scared. And fear is a big, big problem. Fear is probably the biggest thing that controls our life and puts us into misery. Fear. We got to overcome fear. That's why God says perfect love casts out fear. We just got to love God with all our heart, soul, and mind. And we're not. We're not because of the complaining, the murmur and the complaining. Murmur and complaining is not love. You cannot confess God with your lips and your heart is just complaining away, away, away. That's called a hypocrite. God hates a hypocrite. So don't fool yourself. You see, one of the things is I look at it this way. If you're going to give your life to God and you're going to confess his name and you're going to give glory to his name, then give it to him 100%. Because if you're only going to do it with your lips, but your heart is so far from it, who are you fooling? Who are you fooling? You're not fooling God. God looks within the heart. He says, pew-wee, get away from me, you worker of iniquity. I never knew you. No. So I tell all those people who want to confess with their lips, but yet they're still groaning and moaning inside, I'm going to tell them, stay home. Stay home. Don't get into the relationship with God, because he says this. It's better not to know me than to know me and be lukewarm. I don't know about you, but I don't want to be lukewarm in it. I want salvation, but yet I don't want to sit there and take the gospel and take his grace for granted. I have a feeling that the gospel message is going to start shaking foundations. And God doesn't really care if he offends you. He cares that you hear and you change. What is it better? To go with the motions and look good and feel good about yourself, or come to a place of salvation and have eternal life and be pleasing in God's eyes? What would you choose? I think I want to be pleasing in God's eyes. You know, I'm sure Jesus didn't care about how he looked. I'm sure Jesus didn't care about who he offended. He just cared about being pleasing in God's eyes. And he worked that. And I'm going to tell you right now, those with that type heart, you should honor. Like, I honor those pastors that are in this ministry. I honor the words that they speak because they have a fear of the Lord. And when they have a fear of the Lord, they're judging every word that comes out of their mouth too. And they are conscious about every word that they speak. And those words are there to edify you and build you up. But your mind, because it doesn't want change, your mind, because it doesn't want that Christ in you to live, begins to judge, create accusations, speak false witness against the neighbor, just starts doing all these bad things. Got to be careful. Got to be really careful. Amen? So I want to end this message by being conscious about the groaning that is inside of us. Look, I'd love to bring a feel-good message there to get everybody all excited and happy. But at the same time, you got to give a message that is going to get you to look inside too. You got to look and see, where is your heart? Where's your heart? And if your heart is murmuring and complaining, and if your heart is full of judgment, You're not in the right place. You're only fooling yourself, and you're only putting on your own righteous garment. And your garment is filthy in the eyes of God. It's filthy. It's filthy. We want a garment that is white and pure as snow. A garment that we can begin to start looking at ourselves and be honest with ourselves and begin to say, you know what? I'm groaning. Now, if you have a groaning towards another, go to your brother, go to your sister. Try to work out those groaning issues. You see? If you have a groaning about a situation in your workplace, find out what's causing the problem in your workplace. Try to work out your situations. You see what I'm saying? Try to make things better. Do all that you can do. And if the groaning is still going and there's nothing that you can do about it, then you got to work out your decisions after that so that the groaning stops. You got to heal the groaning. How many people are grabbing that? You got to heal the groaning. We're in pain. We're suffering. We got to find out why we're in pain, and we got to find out why we're in suffering. You know, there are traditions, lies, that are encamped in our bubble. And some of them are saying that that's life. And you're supposed to feel that way. Has anyone ever heard that before? And suck it up. Suck it up, buttercup. You gotta just deal. That's another lie that's in our bubble. That's another lie in our bubble. We need to understand the lies that are in our bubble. And then we need to see the truth, because the truth will set us free. God says that He has prepared a place for us. He has given us a kingdom of righteousness, peace, and joy. Where is that kingdom in your life? Got to cast down the imaginative. Got to cast down the traditions. Got to cast down those traditions. Those things that have ingrained in our minds that, oh, you're a bad person if you do this, or, oh, you're not right if you do that, or, oh, you can't do this, you can't do that. You have to do this, and you have to do that. All these things that go against what's groaning inside of you. Sometimes we might just have to take a couple of steps back. Get away from everything and go deep down and start finding out what we want. What do you want? What do you want? And if you can't control it, do like what Melinda did in her testimony. Let it go and find a place of joy. Let it go and find a place of joy. If you can do something about it, then do something about it. But if it's something that you can't do, let it go. I love the testimonies that came across today. Every one of them was when I surrendered, because they couldn't do anything about it. When they surrendered, their breakthrough or their miracle came. Maybe we're just not letting it go. Maybe we're just not letting it go. Maybe we think we let it go from our lips, but we just didn't go further and let it go in our heart. How far are we going to go? I want us to let it go so far that it's no longer in our heart or our mind. If you think about it or you meditate on it, guess what? You didn't let it go. If it's in the back of your mind, or if it's laying heavy on your heart, you didn't let it go. If it's still there, you didn't let it go. If the thought brings sadness, you didn't let it go. How many people are grabbing that? If we can learn this mystery, if we can learn this little golden nugget, our lives are going to change. And they're not going to change slow. They're going to change fast. Because if you listen to the testimonies, every time they let it go, within days, you had your breakthrough. Weeks. Let's put it this way. It wasn't as long as it was when you were groaning and moaning. It's quicker. So I want to leave with this word. Let us look and be aware of the groaning that is coming from our inner man. It's saying something. It's saying something. And if it's not in your control, then you got to let it go. If it's in your control, do something about it. That simple. That simple. How many people grab that simple message, but so profound? So profound. Listen to the groaning in your heart. Don't let it pass by. It's saying something. It's saying something. Amen. Amen. I see glory. I see the glory that is given to us.